Good morning, girls and boys. This is David Roberts telling once again that here comes your walking, talking storybook, Vernon Crane. That almost, but not quite, makes a rhyme, doesn't it? Anyway, here's Vernon with another one of those funny fables of his. Hello, Vernon.
Good morning, Mr. Roberts, and hello, everyone. I've got something else besides one of those funny fables. I've got a question or two that I want to ask. May I, Mr. Roberts?
You may, Vernon, so long as your questions aren't part of a guessing game, because I don't do so well at guessing games.
No, this isn't a game. This is really serious, Mr. Roberts.
Very well, I shall be very serious and answer you to the best of my humble ability. How's that?
Fine. Now, this is what I want to know. Last Sunday, just as we were going off the air, you changed your last announcement and said something that you've never said before. You said, Vernon Crane's storybook is one of the many public service presentations that come to you through the studios of the National Broadcasting Company, and so forth and so on.
Oh, I didn't say, and so forth and so on.
No, of course you didn't. But you did say that I was a public service presentation, and it made me feel as though I were a drinking fountain in the park. And I want to know why you said it and what it means.
Well, that's very simple. A public service presentation is very much like a drinking fountain in the park, because a public service presentation is a program that the National Broadcasting Company puts on especially because we feel that our listening public needs or wants that particular kind of program. Now, in your case, we thought everyone would be pleased with a good storybook program, and so they were. And that makes you a public service presentation. Is that all clear to you now?
Well, sort of clear. But how do you know what kind of program people want to hear?
Well, that's very simple, too. Lots of people write in to the National Broadcasting Company and say exactly what they want. We try to give it to them, and then other people listen and write in to say it's very nice. And then we feel sure that we're presenting the best kind of program.
Well, it's all very wonderful, Mr. Roberts, and thank you for explaining. But I still feel like a drinking fountain in the park.
Well, that's exactly the way you should feel, because you and your stories are here for everyone to enjoy. You should be very pleased and proud, Vernon.
Oh, I am, Mr. Roberts. And now that I know what you're talking about, I guess I'll get on with the story. It's called Dudley, the Most Ancient of Autos. Once there was a little old man who saved all of his pennies and extra nickels so that he could buy a horse. All of his life he'd wanted a horse, so it was no hardship for him to save his pennies and extra nickels to buy one. He knew exactly the sort of horse that he wanted, and he knew exactly what name he was going to call that horse. The name was Dudley. One fine day, the little old man counted all of his pennies and extra nickels and discovered that he had as much money as he needed. So he set off to the county fair in a fine state of anticipation. He was so excited that his fine white whiskers fairly crackled with electricity. And as he passed along the street, he called to all the boys and girls who were his neighbors and said, "You must watch for me as I come home this afternoon. I shall be riding on the finest horse that money can buy, and his name will be Dudley. You may each give him a lump of sugar or a carrot." Of course, everyone was delighted that the little old man was at last to realize his dream. So they promptly went around to their kitchens to ask, please, if they mightn't have a lump of sugar or a carrot for Dudley. Meantime, the little old man fairly bounced along the road to the county fair. When he arrived at the gate of the fair, he saw quite a large crowd standing around a peculiar-looking object. The little old man meant to go directly to the place where they sold the finest horses, but his curiosity got the best of him, so he began to push his way politely through the crowd. He said, would you mind letting me pass? May I trouble to get through here? Thank you so much. Until he stood right beside the peculiar-looking object without once pushing his elbows rudely into anybody's ribs. The sight that met his little old eyes amazed him. There in the very center of the crowd stood the finest-looking open-top carriage that he had ever seen. It was black and shiny and trimmed with brass. The seats were beautifully upholstered with nice smelly leather, and in front of one seat there was an interesting little foot pedal and gadgets to be turned and wiggled, and there was a large mahogany wheel and a beautiful brass horn that wound around and around and ended up in a big red rubber ball. The whole thing was so fantastic that the little old man couldn't believe it was real. "What on earth is it?" asked the little old man. And everybody said, "It's an automobile. It's a newfangled carriage that doesn't need a horse." "A horseless carriage?" said the little old man. "Why, upon my soul, it doesn't seem possible." So he blew on his glasses and polished them so he could have a better look. It's very possible, said the man who owned the strange-looking carriage. At last the day has come when you don't have to buy a horse and carriage. Now you just buy this sort of carriage, and you can get along very nicely without a horse. It sounds truly wonderful, said the little old man. I've spent years and years saving up my pennies and extra nickels so that I could buy a horse, and I was planning to save up for a carriage. Now, if I should buy this automobile, I would have all the pleasure of both a horse and carriage for the price of one. That's absolutely right, said the owner of the automobile. And before you could butter a slice of bread and eat it, the little old man had counted out his pennies and extra nickels and was sitting proudly behind the big mahogany driving wheel. He learned which little foot pedals to push and which gadgets to turn and wiggle, and most important of all, he learned how to squeeze the red rubber ball that fastened onto the beautiful brass horn. That was to warn everyone to get out of his way. So he pushed the pedals, wiggled and turned the gadgets, squeezed the big red rubber ball, and grabbed hold of the big mahogany steering wheel just in time to go whizzing out of the fairground gates at the terrific rate of 15 miles an hour. Everyone began to laugh. And as the little old man sped up the road, the laughter increased until it all but drowned out the sound of the motor. In those days, an automobile was considered a very funny sight. And with the little old man driving, this particular automobile was even funnier. Perched high on the leather seat behind the steering wheel, with his whiskers blowing in the breeze, the little old man looked something like a smokestack on a locomotive. People couldn't help laughing, but the little old man didn't mind. He thought that laughter was good for the world, and that anyone who could travel down a road and leave a trail of merriment behind him was doing a worthwhile deed. When the little old man came chugging up to his own house, all the children of the neighborhood were waiting on the front lawn. They each had a lump of sugar or a carrot, and they were utterly amazed to see the little old man in his new automobile. "But where is Dudley?" they all cried. And the little old man said very proudly, "This is Dudley. Times are changing, and one must keep up with the times. So I bought an auto instead of a horse, and the auto's name will be Dudley. You were very nice to bring lumps of sugar and carrots, but I'm afraid this Dudley can't use them. However, you must all have a ride in my auto as a reward for your kindness." Everyone did have a ride, and in less time than it takes to tell, everyone became very fond of Dudley. The little old man and his automobile were practically inseparable, and they were both so popular that children came from miles around just to visit and to be taken for a ride. The years went by, and bigger, better, and faster cars began to appear everywhere. Almost everyone had an automobile, but the little old man remained faithful to Dudley, and Dudley remained faithful to the little old man. Every Saturday morning, Dudley was scrubbed and polished, so that every Sunday afternoon, he and the little old man could take the children driving. The grown-ups always laughed wherever they saw them, but Dudley and the little old man and the children didn't care. They were still pleased that they could make people smile. "We're happy," the little old man would say, "and we make everyone else happy, and that's a very good thing." Every spring, Dudley was given a thorough going over and a new coat of paint, so that he was very well preserved. And the little old man was so busy taking care of Dudley that he was very well preserved, too. It was a pleasure to see the two of them, Dudley the auto shining with paint and polish, and the little old man shining with pride and good health. Of course, they were both growing very old, but they grew old gracefully together. The little old man would chuckle and say, "Well, I guess Dudley and I are just a couple of antiques." And the children would dance about and say, "Yes, yes, but such lovely antiques." So that Dudley and the little old man had the satisfaction of knowing that they were loved and honored, even though they were pretty old. One fine Sunday afternoon, the little old man returned from church with four children who had never been taken for a ride with Dudley. He led them to the garage and made a great ceremony of unlocking the doors and opening them. Then he helped the children into their seats and cranked Dudley's motor. Immediately, Dudley began to chug and hum contentedly, and the little old man took his place at the steering wheel. He wiggled and turned the proper gadgets, pushed the proper foot pedals, sounded the horn, and Dudley rolled out of the garage and headed towards the park. They hadn't gone very far when they heard a loud whistle and a policeman's voice calling, "Hey, little old man, pull that antique auto over to the curb." The little old man did as he was told, and with his eyes twinkling, he said to the children, "I guess Dudley must have done something wrong, and he's going to be arrested." The policeman came right up, saluted smartly, and said, "I'm sorry I had to stop you, sir, but the chief of police has decided that Dudley is too old to be going about the streets. He may break down quite unexpectedly, and it might be very dangerous for you and the children. Now, we think it would be much better if you gave up these Sunday rides before anything happens."
"Fiddlesticks!" cried the little old man. "Dudley is in excellent condition. He's just as good as the day I bought him. I've tended him with loving care, and he runs as slick as a whistle. Every mechanic in town will swear to it that Dudley is in no danger of breaking down."
"I'm terribly sorry," said the policeman. "I didn't want to hurt your feelings, little old man, but the truth is that the chief of police thinks you're too old to be driving about the streets. Dudley is perfectly all right, but we're afraid that you're too old to be taking the children for rides. You're almost 90 years old, and, well, you see how it is." "Yes," said the little old man sorrowfully. I do see how it is, and thank you for telling me. You know, I wouldn't want anything to happen to the children or to Dudley, so we'll go home right now, and I'll never drive again." So Dudley chugged home very slowly and carefully and rolled into the garage. The little old man was very, very sad, but he tried to be brave about it. Every Sunday he kept the garage doors wide open so that the children could go in and see Dudley, and every now and again he'd start up the motor just to hear how sweet it sounded and to make sure that Dudley was still all right. But all the joy of living was gone. The little old man felt he was no longer useful, and people who aren't useful are the saddest people in the world. One Sunday afternoon, the little old man was sitting at the garage door, reading his Sunday paper, and trying to pretend that he was happy, when along came another little old man. He stopped and admired Dudley, and asked if he might hear the motor. Immediately, our little old man started Dudley, and the other little old man was just delighted. Little by little, he heard the story of Dudley, and when it came to the part about not being allowed to drive anymore, both little old men shook their white heads sadly and stroked their whiskers solemnly. Suddenly, the little old man, who was a stranger, snapped his fingers and said, "I've got it. I've got a great big smooth field behind my house. We'll take Dudley there, where there's no traffic, and every Sunday afternoon you can drive the children around the field to your heart's content." In two shakes, they got a garage man to come and take Dudley to the field, and in just about two more shakes, our little old man was just as happy as he'd ever been in his life. For he could climb into the driver's seat, wiggle the right gadgets, push the right pedals, sound the horn, and drive off around the field. You can find him there any Sunday if the weather's fine, and he isn't hard to find. For all you have to do is follow the signs that say, "This way to Dudley, the most ancient of autos."
Well, I wish that wasn't just a story, because if it were really true, I'd like to follow the signs and have a ride with Dudley and the little old man myself.
So would I, Mr. Robert. You know, I've discovered that I made a serious mistake last week. I said that our friends were scattered between the Atlantic Ocean and the Rocky Mountains. And then I had three letters from people in California. I had no idea that our storybook went that far, did you?
Why, yes, it certainly does. And we hope that when the storybook is opened again next Sunday at this same time over most of these same stations, that all of you will want to join us here again. Vernon's storybook is one of the public service features of the National Broadcasting Company, and Vernon and I are always pleased to have you listen. If you'd like one of Vernon's picture postcards, he'd be happy to send it to you, and he'd be delighted to hear from you. Your announcer is David Roberts, and this program has come to you from the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.